Good morning, Mosaic. Good morning, Highland. Good morning, folks. If you're here visiting for the first time, this is my apology, okay? Not that we're not going to have an awesome experience together, but I am not the regular teaching pastor, okay? Pastor Eddie's gone this week. My name is Jeremiah Gregory. I've got to meet some of you before. This is my third time at Mosaic. I'm excited about getting to be here with you today. I'm more than excited. I'm very pumped. But let me tell you this. I could make you laugh. I mean, if you look at me closely enough, you will chuckle. And you will start to go like I do and start to judge. And you'll be like, dude, this guy's preaching in a t-shirt? It is. It's a t-shirt. It got it on clearance, okay? And this is my favorite sweatshirt that I wear all the time. I wear it when I preach at home, here. I wear it all the time. I even ripped it this week. And I thought to myself, you know what? I can't wear my shirt anymore because it's ripped. And these people might not like me because it's not nice enough. And then God just kind of gave me a little, like, you know, when he doesn't, you don't feel slapped, you feel kind of that nice nudge. And he's like, let him like you for who you really are. Today, that's what I want to talk about. Today, the series is the start of a series called Toxic, okay? By definition, what toxic is anything. Let me read this, okay? This is the only part of the message I borrowed from the series on toxic. Toxic is anything containing poisonous materials that is maybe even able to cause sickness or death, okay? Anything containing toxic materials that could cause sickness or even death. Okay, so when you journey through this week and the next 4 weeks, if you're a regular person here, okay, you're going to be hearing a lot about that theme, toxic, okay? I got a little scared when I saw that because it reminded me of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when I was a kid. And they had the secret of the ooze and they had that green oozy stuff. And the point was, if you got that on you, you could die. Well, I'll be really straight with you. I'm not going to pull any punches. I'm not going to try to trick you. I stand here today, and the only reason you should listen to me is not because I'm a hair model, okay? It's not because I love the St. Louis Cardinals, but I'm kind of struggling with the whole Albert Pujols deal right now. It's not because I love ski, and ski is really close to here. There's a lake of ski at Carlisle. It's not for any reason that I can make you laugh or relate. It's not because I'm a Chicago Bears fan and I hate the St. Louis Rams. It's none of those reasons. It's this. Because I was totally toxic. The Bible calls this word sin, and I'll be straight up with you. You can relate toxicity and sin toy to one another. And in fact, I want to talk to you today about that from God's Word, where you can look at it, we can talk through it, and my point isn't for you to say, man, that Jeremiah, he was a cool guy, or man, he was a nice guy, or I don't have a clue what he was saying. My point is for you, when you get out of here, that you would be more into God's Word. You could hear clearly over this next 30 minutes from God's Word, okay, what He has to say about your life. And I promise you, we're going to stay right in that Word, and I promise you this, it will change your life if you allow it to. What He has to say, He's not making a joke. Our lives are full of toxic things, are they not? Even us that call ourselves Christians, there's still so much in this world that can get on us, that oozes out of different things. Sometimes entire church families become toxic. Sometimes our relationships, toxic relationships we are talking about today. So I sat and I thought, sometimes, how do I relate this? I get 1 week, I get one time to tell them something of substance, to teach them with authority from God and not myself. What do we do? Because we all need help, no matter where we're at. Amen? So let's talk about this. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much just for being you, God. For being who you are. You don't need any add-ons. You don't need any additions. You don't even need us. But God, you want us. You want us. You really do. Today we're talking about relationships. Relationships that don't make sense. And God, trying to direct us all, God, through your strength to the relationships that do make sense. How we can live this life that is so full of relationships in a solid way. A way of joy and a way of hope. A way with direction, a way with purpose. You. God, help us, no matter if this is our first time in a church gathering or if we've been in a church gathering for many years, whether we are struggling with personal sin, with sins of our family, with sickness, with any kind of sins, God, we lay those right now. We ask in the name of Jesus that you just take those right now. As we focus on your word right now, that your word speak and become real to each person with an open heart and open ears to hear it today. Father, help us, because many times our minds are so cluttered with things. Do surgery on us right now, Jesus, in a way that you can only perform and do your work. In Jesus' name, if you're with me, just say, amen, I heard that. We do trucker talk where I'm from, a little town not too far from here, a couple hours away. When we say amen, it basically means like, I agree with you, God. I agree with what this guy's saying. So amen's like, heard that. That's what they say when you're a trucker. Hey, breaker, breaker, we got one smoking. No. My dad was a trucker. And we go, heard that. You know, I heard that. You know, anyway, you're like, oh boy, this guy, okay. All right, I actually lived in Greenville, not that far away. Some of you don't like it there, but I'm not that much different than you. And in fact, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, this is where we're going to be. We're going to spend our time in 10 verses, all right? And here's the toxic relationships I want you to focus on today, okay? Can you say this with me? God. God. It's that hard. It's difficult. Say God with me.
Yeah.
All right. Many times we have a toxic relationship with God. And in fact, the Bible says that that is the most important relationship that you can have or don't have, okay? God doesn't want you to be guessing whether He loves you or not. He makes it clear. And will make it more clear as you begin to trust Him that the relationship you can have with Him, folks, is 100%. That He never leaves or forsakes those that put their faith and trust in Him. So, if you look at toxic relationships and you're thinking, I struggle, I don't know what to do about this, I don't know what to do with this person, I don't know how to be the kind of dad or the kind of mom I need to be. Life is tough, and we feel toxic, we get sin in us, we do the wrong things, we struggle with things, and our relationships tend to sometimes ooze like that. God's goal from the get-go is to change you from the inside, from your core, so that you have a right view of Him. Okay? So three main relationships that this text is going to bring out today, I hope, and I pray, and I think it will. A view of God, okay? A view of others, and a view of yourself, okay? And I do those in that order for a reason. If you, straight up with you, okay, I'm 31 now. I know some of you are like, dude, you're old. And some of you are like, you don't have a clue, Sonny, what you're talking about. I've been journeying with Jesus now for about 15 years, okay? And one day with Him, I'll tell you what, one day really committed to what He's doing makes you, you know what I mean? It does some amazing things, okay? I'll just put it at that. Man, my life was stagnant with sin. I was literally dead. Physically, no, I was alive, still am, thank God. But I was dead in sin. And Jesus, when I was about 16 years old, literally rescued my life. I won't go into a lot of detail about that, but I was literally at the edge of suicide when He rescued my life. When He started the new journey in me and created in me a new person. So now for 15 years I've had a chance to start journeying with Him. About 10 years I've been in ministry, and about most of that is spent honestly talking to the youngest of you in here, or younger, junior high and high school kids. I have 4 children of my own. I've lost 2 children. Some of you can relate to that stuff too. When you become a dad, it kind of opens up your whole world a little bit more. Okay? Every relationship you're at has a big connection with God, good or bad. God wants to be the focus and let you have exactly what you need. And in fact, what He says, the only thing, Himself, not an addition of Him, not a church that makes you feel good, not music that makes you feel good. He wants you to have Him at your core, inside of you, in a personal way. When you know God in a real and personal way, and some of you know some people that do, or maybe you're beginning to know Him yourself, or maybe you've known Him for a while, you know that He won't allow you to stay close with Him, okay? And not things not start changing, right? You start seeing others differently, don't you? You start seeing sin differently. You start seeing yourself differently. And God intends it to be that way. I want you to imagine today. How many of you text, honestly? I know there's some of you older than me that text more than I do. So throw your hands up nice and proud. How many of you text? Okay. Isn't that crazy? How many of you are on Facebook? Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't even know what the internet was 10 years ago. My school did not have internet about 13 years ago when I graduated high school. No clue what the internet was. Okay. When I went to college, everybody had wireless. It was like, what in the world is that? Wireless. Imagine this connection. We all want to be connected. We want to have the right type of relationships. Okay? We do. There's a longing for that. Why do you think 18 gazillion, badillion, mammillion, however you can make up the word, I don't even know, but they're all on Facebook. And some of you are like, I'm not going on Facebook. I don't follow the trends of this world. I'm not going to give in to that Facebook monster. You know, I've heard people say that. Anyway, I won't go there. Your connection, your Wi-Fi, okay? The God who created this whole universe and created you, whether you believe it or not, loves you. He put you here with a divine, inspired purpose for Him and for His glory. That means to make Him look good. The Bible says your life is not about you. See, when I was 16 and almost gave up my life was all about me. All about me. I still have some problems. I could drink ski by the gallons if it was in my town. I could engorge pizza. I have, if you see my side profile, it's not that beautiful. This is natural, okay? I have issues that hang me up, but what I'm saying is God is replacing those issues with Him. Or He's using those things for Him. Do you get what I'm saying? And that is His goal for all of us. To be used in amazing ways. First and foremost, in your view of Him, God. If your view of God is toxic, if it is not correct, guess what? You go around your whole life thinking God hates you or God doesn't care about you. I work with tons of students that want to know God but don't have a clue because they've never seen anybody really living for Him. I work with kids that want to love God but they struggle to know Him because guess what? Their father or their mother isn't there for them. They'd rather go to the bar and sit there all night than be at home or do something with their kids. And I could go into many illustrations, but I think you guys get that. God is God alone. A famous brother preacher of mine once said, God is God alone. God is God all by Himself. He don't need nobody else. And isn't that, some of you are like, well, that's stupid. What do you mean, doesn't need me? If you think of one thing today, as you realize your relationships, because I could sit here and I could say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, all day long, right? Stay away from the ooze. You know, if you remembered that when you leave, stay away from the ooze. That's scary, and it's not going to help you that much. Because your world, literally, our world is full of ooze, man. So my hope today for toxic relationships is to teach you and speak from the Word clearly that God is the opposite of toxic. And when you think rightly about Him and you know Him, it'll change your view of others and then ultimately who you are. You will start to acknowledge who you really are in Him. Listen to this. Wait, before, one more thing. Sorry. If you've never read the Bible or if you're not familiar with where I'm reading from, and why would I listen to this? Okay, this is about 2,000 years old. The original manuscripts, they keep finding more and more of them. Why should we listen to this book? Is it just some other book? You should do some research on that. It's incredible. what they have found and how consistent it is and all the things that it said were going to happen are happening and still to this day are happening. It's the most written about, quoted book in all of history. This guy, Paul, why should I listen to the author writing this that God inspired, okay? He was totally lost. He was a prideful, arrogant, very educated man that spent his life making the lives of Christians miserable. He was in charge of basically making sure that they wouldn't tell anyone about God, and that no one would know God, and if they did, that they would be killed. That was Paul before he was changed. Before he met Jesus Christ, before Jesus took him from the toxic, lost person he was and lighted him, ignited him on fire with Jesus himself at the core. Listen to this. You were dead, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Dead. This isn't like the Easter Bunny, like, you fell in the mud and you got a little sin on you. You were what? Dead! I want that to stand out, even if it makes me look a little weird. You were what? Dead. You were once dead in trespasses. Trespasses is a word that literally means serious breakings of the law. You weren't just like, I swore on Facebook because Chelsea made me mad. Or like you sent a mean text or you did something at work you shouldn't have. You ate, you know, 2 lunch tickets that one day instead of 1. Whatever it is. You were dead in sins. Set apart from God. God, I just told you God wants to have a relationship with you. In and of yourself, there's nothing you can do to be alive in Him. Nothing. Mother Teresa, on her own actions and what she did, dead to God. Spiritually, dead. I've seen dead people. Oh, that's a scary movie, but anyway. Dead in trespasses, dead in sins, in the ways you once walked. You were following the course of this world, right? If you read the Message paraphrase, it's pretty interesting. Following the course of this world, it says. You were following the prince of the power of the air. Folks, who is the prince of the power of this earthly air and this earthly world? Satan himself. See, God isn't pulling punches here. He's setting up a divinely inspired showdown. And you're a part of it. Listen to this. It wasn't long ago you were so mixed up and mired in the old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. Isn't that true? We let the world tell us we're... Jeremiah, you can't preach in a t-shirt. I mean, that's what I struggled with this morning. I said, get you behind me, Satan. I'm going to share the word in a t-shirt today. Amen. We let the world tell us we're too fat, too skinny, got to have a bigger house, a bigger car, whatever the world fills us with in our flesh. And most of the time, we listen to that. Would you agree? How many of you have been a Christian for quite some time, but you still have a problem listening to the prince of the power of the air? Would you throw your hand up if you're with me? Throw your hand up. Throw your hand up. Man, you guys are pretty honest. Back at home, if I do that, they're just kind of like, all right, I like that. That's good. God likes honesty. The spirit now, Satan, that is at work in the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience, guess who that is? It also is daughters. It's us. It's those that are still in sin. If you're here today, this is the bad news. Keep listening because there's good stuff coming. If you're here today and you've never literally saw that you were a sinner, saw that God loves you, put your faith in Him by however that works out for you, trusting Him, believing in who He says He was, guess what? You're spiritually dead. It doesn't mean that you might not be a nice person, a good mama and all that, but you're not. When God looks down upon you, His creation that He made, He can't see you the way that He's supposed to see you, the way He wants to see you. When I was 16, I didn't by myself turn into a perfect Christian overnight. There is no such thing as a perfect Christian, only a perfect Christ. When I was saved from my sins, I was walking this pattern of the world, right? Jesus entered my life. Verse 4 says this. Wait, verse 3. Among whom we all. Who does that say? We all. We all. We all once lived in the passions of our flesh. We carried out the desires of the body and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath. What in the world does that mean? Like the rest of mankind. I'll tell you what that means. What do you? How do you sum this up? We were doing whatever we wanted to do. And some of you might be a Christian, you're sitting out here and saying, well, shucks. That's how I live nowadays. I mean, you turn on half the preachers in America today, right? I mean, if we're honest. Isn't that what they do? Don't they basically tell you you go and live however you want? Jesus loves you. Slap your neighbor on the back. Praise God in a worship service. And everything is going to be okay if you have white teeth like Joel Osteen. Okay? I'm going to leave it at that. Inside, it's not Joel's fault, it's not your fault. Inside, you were made to be attracted to sin. You were made with this stuff called flesh, okay? And its desire is to tear you and pull you away from God. From doing anything godly. Okay? You didn't just come out of this... You didn't come out of your mother's womb made to worship Jesus. You came out of your mother's womb a sinner. In case you know anything about children, which I know a lot of you do, I can tell, you're older than me and you once were children, right? What is one of the first kind of attitudes most children have? Like, if there's anything like the burst that I've seen, they come out and what are they doing? Freaking out, crying. And then what do you struggle with as they develop, right? What do they think? The world is what? It's theirs. How come I can't have that? I mean, be honest with you. My little boy is about 2 months old right now. He spends way more time with my wife than I do. You know what I'm saying? Me, our flesh, whatever that is. Sometimes when we keep growing, maybe physically or in years, we still have these desires that tell us we want to do whatever we want to do. And Paul is identifying here saying, we all are that way. We're born that way. You can check it out in a study through Romans. It's the theology behind all of what Paul is saying. Listen, we're all in that boat together. You know what I mean? There is none of you that is capable of knowing God the way He intended in and of your own stuff, your own goodness, your own... Well, I was good. I was born into a Catholic home, or I was born into a Baptist home. And when I talk like this, I'm not trying to make fun of you, okay? It's the way my mind works, okay? It's the way I, like, hopefully keep you listening. And I know that sounds lame-o, but I've been a youth pastor, okay? That's my excuse for a long time. Kids like changes in voices. Otherwise, they're like, squirrel! Did you see that? Oh, text message. Okay. All right. But don't miss this, because my favorite verse is verse 4. So basically, you get this? We were dead. Toxicity. We were dead. It said capable of making us sick or even what? Death. God looks down upon all of you, made for Him, made for His purposes, with His love. You were made in His image, and He sees you, and until you let Jesus be that atoning sacrifice, that stand in your place and put your faith in Him, guess what? You're spiritually dead. Verse 4, good news. Someday, the Cubs will win the World Series. Just kidding, probably won't happen. But verse 4 says, but God... This is where the good news starts. In case you're hearing that, man, I'm a sinner. I know I am. I mess up all the time. I'm just trying to hide it really good. You know? Usually adults just get better at hiding stuff than kids. They can't hide it. Kids tell me to F off all the time. And then next week we're praying together, talking, hanging, chilling. Because they don't hide stuff usually as much. Some of you might have some sneaky teenagers. We can talk about that later, okay? Verse 4, this is great news. Can you say great news? Can you say absolutely amazing news? Better than Albert Pujols signing a mega deal. Albert Pujols come on the... Did you guys catch that? I saw it at 10:07 today. ESPN. Albert Pujols signed for the Cardinals. He just said, you know what? Since I'm a Christian, free. I'll play the cars for free. I love this city so much. I love these people, these fans. I mean, look at all this money they've given me. Shucks. I make $1.5 million every time I hit a home run, 400 and some feet. So, hey, I'll just give it all back. May God be glory. No, he didn't say that. What does that have to do with anything? Because that'd be a big deal. And it'd make a lot of you pretty happy. How many Cardinal fans out in this house? Okay? Listen, way bigger than this. Way bigger than Ozzie Smith doing backflips all the way across the field. God, but God, all this was happening. You were dead, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved, who? Us. He actually doesn't just like you. He loves you. And you're like, I've heard that before. No, really. If this dude is a liar, then I hate telling you this, but if this book is a lie, please leave immediately, go live however you want, because guess what? You might as well just say who's God and who's not. Because there's nothing like this book. There's nothing that's changed and defined and unveiled history and the future like this living, breathing Word of God. And God wants to use it to literally not just beat you over the head like somebody did when you were a kid. Maybe you don't go to church anymore because they're like, God loves you. The Bible beat down. You know? God, but God changes you from the desires of your flesh to change and put new desires in you for Him. Whoa! It's okay to say that. I'll keep going. Being rich in mercy because of His great love, which He loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in those trespasses, He made us alive together with who? With Christ. Man, Jesus Christ, the facts on this guy, 33 years He walked on this earth. The Bible says He was with God the Father at creation, and then the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters at the beginning of creation, thousands of years ago. You were dead in your sin. God made you. Remember, doesn't need you, wants you. He takes you by the workings of Christ and only Christ, according to Christ Himself, okay? And He makes you right with God, your Creator, the one who knows the true you, the one that gives you real purpose. When I was on the bridge and this all soaked in, I had heard so much of the Bible. You get what I'm saying? I'd heard all the verses. I grew up with mom and dad that said they were Christians. Didn't always live that way. None of us do always. But God changed my life. And is changing my life today. I want to tell you, when you leave this place today, it's not just like just a little thing. It's everything. If something happens to any of you today, the goal of the gospel of Jesus Christ, John 20:31 says, these things were written so that you might know with confidence when you put your trust in Jesus Christ that you know Him and you have eternal life. And eternal doesn't mean just up in heaven. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to have some gold stuff up there. And streets of gold and crystal sea. It means now you start to live. Some of you got a whole life ahead of you. To see God in a way that He continues to change you. I'm thankful that I'm not still the same way I was when I was 16. I mean, the fact that I get to come to Highland and preach to you guys just makes me pretty pumped. And 15 years ago, there's no way anyone would even ask me to read Scripture. You get what I'm saying? I get to look at my children every day now because God, but God, because He tells me who they are. I get my view of this world, this toxic world we live in, from God now. I get the view of my marriage. I get hope for my marriage when I don't know how to be a good husband, from God. You get what I'm saying? This is a huge change in the core of you and to me and of us. And God has called all of you to Him, but it's only through Him, through Him. The Bible says, to Him, through Him, and for Him, all things were made. Another verse says, everything finds its meaning and its purpose in Him. Whether you've known Him for a long time or you just are like curious checking this stuff out, man, let me tell you this. God is the real deal. Straight up. If you give even a smidget of the amount of time, money, and resources that we do to other things, even good things, to God, really to God and for God, for Him to do His work, it will be literally transformational, like the Chevy turning into the big robot. It will be that crazy awesome in your life. It doesn't mean all your bad stuff and your circumstances are going to go away. But it means when they happen, because they're going to happen, He will be with you. You will know Him. You will have peace in Him. I shared this before. When we lost our first child, we were about 6 months along, okay? And I remember when the ultrasound lady told me, I'm sorry. I didn't jump up and down and sing praise songs, you know what I mean? That wasn't that kind of joy. But I had a joy from the get-go that God knew what He was doing. And that in this toxic world, I can trust Him. And for me, I'm just speaking from my own experience, okay, for a minute. That's everything. When I look in the mirror and say, dude, I wish your double chin would go away. When I look in the mirror and say, man, I didn't want to yell at my son. I want to show him the kind of love God would show me. That's what I'm supposed to do. Then I have that continued communication with God. God's saying, I'm going to give you another chance, son. Show him the love that I have shown you. You see what I'm saying? This constant journey, but God in your life. Verse 6 says this. At the end of verse 5, by grace you were saved. Grace means unmerited favor. It's how God can love you. Because before, when He looks down, He sees dead. He sees what they call sin. The toxicity levels are very high in your life without Christ. And the Bible says the wages or the cost of your sins, all of our sins, is death. But the gift of God, it says, is eternal life, now and never-ending life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. I went from a kid to be suicide to walking and learning in Jesus. It says verse 6, we was raised up with Him. We were raised up with Him. Christians, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, no matter black, brown, white, yellow, no matter what you think about yourself, this is how God views you now. He raises you up with Him. What does that mean? That means you have a new identity. That means you no longer are dead, but what? Alive in Him. That means if someone does something to you and it's bad enough or you get sick enough and you die, guess what? You're going to be with Him. And in 1 John 3, it goes on to proclaim that even more. It says, you will know Him the way He knows you. Some of you have been a Christian, you've been through a lot, and you're struggling. I don't know about this, and I have all these questions. Good, you always will while you're in this toxic world. You can't navigate through manure without occasionally smelling like it. I grew up on a farm. I cleaned a couple pig pits, so I got the stats on that one too. Some of you are like, man, I thought I smelled something. All right. And raised up with Him, with God, and seated with Him, God, in the heavenly places because of and in Jesus Christ. I wrote down a few notes that I really should make sure that you get this. Because when the Bible teaches something like this, it's not like sometimes like when I make statistics up because I want something to sound good, like the Cardinals, like, but it doesn't matter, they didn't make the playoffs last year. They won the most World Series in the National League history, you know? No, this is not a joke. Literally, God's truth is never ending. It's perfect. I thought of these words when I read verse 4 and I wrote down some thoughts. Because of God, I've been rescued. I've been saved. Saved from my own life, saved from my own thoughts, saved now and saved eternally. Saved from the patterns of sin in my life that can be destroyed through Him. I've been chosen by God. He said this to a guy named Jeremiah in the Bible. Before the foundations of the world, He says, I knew you while you before you were in your mother's womb, and I chose you. God chooses every one of His children. His knowledge is so great that He knows before the hands of time began, because He was there when the creation began. He knows you. He knows good and bad, everything about you. And you can be made free in Him. I wrote down, made free. I'm clean. I'm forgiven. Verse 5 and 6, when we were looking at that, it means that we've been made alive. It's been made, we've been raised up with God, and we've now been seated with God, which means He gives us a new mind and a new identity. In Romans chapter 8, if you are writing this down, if you want to write something down that you can look up, Romans 8, 14 through 17 talks about this. In a verse that I have clung on to since I became a Christian, 2 Corinthians 5, Paul's teaching, verse 17, he says, "The old is gone. You now are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. That life you once lived, guess what? Gone." Jesus Christ says who you are, folks. He knows you in a way no one else can fathomingly know you. He is your life. He didn't claim to be one of the ways to life. He claimed He was life. He didn't claim you could find any other way to God but Him. Verse 7 through 10 is where the good news just grows even greater, as I'm about to be done here, okay? Verse 7 says this. So, in the coming ages, we did all this, we've been raised up, we've been given a new identity, we've done all this because in the coming ages, in the time to come, guess what? Christ might show the immeasurable, can't be measured, okay? Riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. This is uncontainable, okay? I was in Maryland this week. I kind of lost track when you fly a lot. You know, you lose track sometimes. I was flying over Lake Superior. I was looking down. And I wasn't supposed to have my phone on me or on. I turned it on to take a picture to show my kids. I was looking at the vastness of that lake. It's insane. And I was like, dude, this is big. This is huge. It's bigger than that pizza I ate last night. I mean, it's big. How much greater is God's love? It says no height, nor depth, nothing, your sin or mine, can separate us from the love of God. That means everything to someone made by Him and for Him. Verse 7 says, so we're going to show these, with the riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, check this out. You want to know how to be saved? You want to know how to be rescued? Here's a core verse of truth. Verse 8 says, for by grace, everybody say grace. You have been what? Saved. Through what? Faith. So by nothing you can deserve, you have been rescued, you've been made new, you have been transformed, you have been saved, made free, made clean, all those things I described. You've got a few of your own. Through faith, putting your trust, placing your trust in Jesus and nothing else. Jesus plus nothing. Not Jesus in your good works. Not Jesus in who you think you are. Jesus has a new identity for you. And that this is nothing of your own doing. It is a what? Gift of God. Say that, gift. When God gives you a gift and you open it up and you realize what you have in Jesus, guess what? You don't give it back. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Really? I talk weird sometimes. When I realized and started, and now I'm realizing more what I have in Jesus Christ, the treasure of this universe, that the God of this universe loves me, calls me, there's nothing better. It changes the way I see everybody. Verse 9 is not a result of our works, nor nothing I can boast about, brag about. Verse 10, the last verse. For you, for we, for anyone that puts their faith and trust in this God, if you want to find out more, read the first chapter. It talks all about it. We are His workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, before time, that we should walk in them. A lot of times people grow up thinking it's works, is equal to earning something, Jesus says this is a free gift. It will change all your relationships if you allow me to change you. View of God, view of others, and ultimately the view of yourself and who you are and what your place in this world is. That means your works, that doesn't mean you become a Christian. This last thing I want to say in close. It doesn't mean you become a Christian and you do whatever you want. Becoming a Christian means following Jesus. Turning from the toxic things in the world and continuing as He grows in you to follow Him. As He teaches you, He becomes what they called Him, His best friends called Him Rabbi, which literally translated means teacher. He becomes your greatest teacher and your greatest treasure. You start to see Him for who He is, right? God. You start to see others for who they are, your family, your friends, the relationships you struggle with. You start to truly see yourself. I am a child of God. I am a new creation in Christ. And I can go on and on. Things I've memorized that God has told me from His Word that I am because of Him. Not of my own works. You see what I'm saying? But what He has done changes everything. Works for good works. You were meant, saved for good works to show His love so that you could walk in Jesus the rest of your life. Here on earth, and someday with Him in eternity. We got some singing coming up. We're going to watch a little clip for the continuation of the series. Pastor Eddie will be back teaching next week. But I want to be personal with you. And maybe it'd be easier for some of you to be personal with me because I'm going to leave today and head back, you know, wherever that direction is. North, east, somewhere. Champagne-ish, okay? If you want to talk about what I'm saying, if you want to have a Facebook conversation until we figure this thing out, if you want to talk to Matt, one of the elders, somebody here, about what I'm talking about, if you have questions, you will not be condemned if you come and say, I just don't get this. I don't quite understand. Or if you say, I get it. I totally get that God gave His life for me, but I'm really struggling to live. This church here, I've known Maddie and I've known Rick for over most of my Christian life, 10 to 12 years. They exist not to just have you feel good and sing a cool song. They exist so that you can walk and together walk in Christ. Learn more about Him, not on a perfect journey, but that we have a perfect God. Amen? That called us before creation in this toxic world to know Him. And I'm going to tell you this, there's nothing better than knowing God and someday making Him known to all the people that are hurt and broken and lost and don't know Him. He's chose you not just for your life to be saved, but that you could be used of Him to rescue many. So that your kids might know Jesus not just because you read them a verse or they heard it at school or the Christian school or on the radio. But the best Bible that they might read might be your life. Isn't that awesome? God trusts you to be His and me. He trusts us to be His ambassadors. To show His glory to this world that He created. He could reach right down here right now and pluck out, take out any of us sinners that He wanted to. Why does evil exist? Because we turn from God. God didn't make evil. Evil is when we don't do what God called us to do. You get what I'm saying? He made you for good, ultimately for Him. And He gave everything so that you might know Him. Amen? Hey, thank you guys. Maddie, do you want me to pray or you just want to jump? All right, I'm going to pray and then we'll finish up here with singing and Father God, thank You so much. First, I got to be selfish and say, thank You for letting me share Your truth, share some of my experience, mostly about what You are doing and who You are. God, I pray that not a single person, God, leave here today without knowing You are worth living for. Knowing that they aren't needed. God doesn't say, oh, I wonder if I could get someone in Highland to really like me. God, You can make the rocks do what You want them to do. You can do anything, God, but You actually want us. God, I ask right now by Your Spirit that You do and continue to do a work in these people and in this church. That this not be a place about me, but about we being together for He, Jesus. You, Lord. Thank You so much, God. If anyone, God, needs to talk, let them know there's safe people to talk to here today. In Jesus' name, we give Him praise. Thank You. Amen.